We give God thanks for all things. That's what we say, right? But do we thank God for our teenagers? No, really, I mean this. This is a serious question, okay? Young people can be hard to live with. This is testimony here. Do we thank God for their beautiful lives, for the intensity of their desires, for their curiosity, for their unwillingness to defer to us authority figures, for their fierce need for independence? Can we? Do we really thank God for these wonderful people in our midst called teenagers? As we recognize our graduates today, these young people who are sort of moving on in new directions, I want to invite all of us to reimagine those amazing, wonderful, confusing years that we have come to call adolescence. Now, depending on how old you are, your view of adolescence and what it means has probably been shaped by different kinds of movies. Maybe for you it was James Dean in Rebel Without a Cause, or John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John in Grease. Okay, some of you, starting up, we're going to move down, a little younger here. Maybe it was Matthew Broderick in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, a wonderful guide for how to skip school, have an amazingly fun day, and stay one step ahead of your dumb parents and teachers, right? Or maybe it was Kevin Bacon in Footloose, an anthem for our need for self-expression when you live in a small town where the minister has outlawed music and dancing. Or Karate Kid, the original in 1984, not any of the sequels or the 2010 remake. The original Karate Kid, of course, where we learned that if you can find an amazing mentor like Mr. Miyagi, we can face the bullies from the Cobra Kai dojo and fall deeply in love with Elizabeth Shue. Wait, was that too personal? Sorry. More recently, there was Napoleon Dynamite, a reminder that life can be lonely and that fitting in is hard, so good grief, we might as well just be ourselves. There was Richard Linklater's Boyhood, a movie filmed across a 12-year span so that we could experience the wonder and the danger of growing up and of trying to parent people who are growing up. And finally, my favorite movie of the past year or so, Greta Gerwig's Lady Bird, about a feisty young woman from Sacramento who wants a life very different from the life that her parents want for her. The story we heard this morning about this young boy, Samuel, reminds us that God speaks to our young people. God calls to our teenagers and speaks their name and invites them to listen deeply for a fresh, lively, life-giving word of grace. This call from God will be easy to mistake for something else. After all, Samuel kept thinking that it was his mentor, the old blind priest Eli, who was calling his name. And one of the tasks in our lives is learning to listen for the voice of God in the midst of all the other things that we're hearing. God's voice is always the call to joy and gladness, to purpose and to meaning, to service and to healing. But this voice always speaks to us all tangled up with all kinds of other not nearly so helpful voices. And we can only pray that our young people have some wise, trustworthy adult friends in their lives, like, say, Mr. Miyagi, or like old Eli the priest. They will need people like this who can help them sort out what it is they're hearing. But young people, it's okay if you miss God's call to you the first or the second time, because God will keep calling to you again and again, waiting for you to hear the voice, just like it happened for young Samuel. And when you finally hear God's beautiful, gracious, energizing voice speaking to you, speaking your name, just say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And that will be the real beginning of the most deeply satisfying life you will ever imagine. The gospel story in Mark 10 is a wonderfully stinging criticism of adults like me. We adults often fall into the stupid assumption that we adults are the closest to God. We adults, we lead things, We run things, we make decisions, we're the one with salary, so we give the money, right? Surely it's the adults who really matter in God's project of renewing and blessing the whole world. That's why the disciples told the crowds who were bringing the children to Jesus, stop it, don't do this, don't bother him. He's with the important people, the adults. This is one of the few times that the Gospels report that Jesus was angry, really angry. Bring the children to me, he says. Let the teenagers through. Even the ones who never clean up their rooms. Even those who sleep way too late on Saturdays. The know-it-alls who think they don't need their parents. The ones who are bored at church. Let them through. For God's new way of life belongs to these young people. It's quite natural for young people to reject or at least to question the traditions of their elders and their parents. So young people, I would be surprised if you don't move through a period of life when you say, no thanks, to the stale old forms of the spiritual life practiced by the older people in your community. But here's the important thing I'd like for you to remember. God has poured out the Spirit upon you. This Spirit is the Spirit of the risen Christ. And it's the Spirit of joy and celebration. It's the Spirit of resilience and healing when things in your life get hard. And this Spirit calls you into a life when you are truly alive. It wakes you up to the beauty of everything around you and to the beauty of your own life. It is not this pouring out of the Spirit. It is not first and foremost a call for you to become a church-going person. Let me say that again. It is not first and foremost a call for you to become a church-going person. It is primarily a call for you to find what Jesus calls the pearl of great price, which is your life set free to become what it's supposed to become. And if you find that gladness so intense that you just have to find a community and a place to express your deep thanksgiving to God, then, of course, you can always come to church to do that. And now I want to invite all of us to join together in confessing what the church believes, what we have believed for centuries and generations. The Apostles' Creed, I just want to point out, assumes that Jesus was a full human being. The Apostles' Creed assumes that he shared to the full extent what it means to be a human being. So that means that Jesus, too, experienced adolescent development. That means that his voice deepened and he grew hair in new places. He had acne. He worried about fitting in and finding his place in the world, and he looked forward to getting free from his parents. He didn't get to bypass any of that or avoid any of it. He didn't need to because there's nothing sinful. There's nothing unhealthy about it. It's a normal, natural, beautiful part of life. This is the journey into adulthood that every single one of us has to make.